Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Back with, I guess we could call this another mailbag episode, but more so just leading up to the NBA draft and free agency and all the rumors we're getting that I think we've been craving for a long, long time, the past several months, Matt, are finally starting to leak out. A lot of the star players, I want out of here, reports, sources here, that this guy wants out of here. So we're going to get into all of that, get into all the rest of our mailbag questions as well. But before we do that, man, how are you?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Looking forward to what looks like a pretty awesome forecast in Chicago this weekend. Maybe finally get out and have one more quality outdoor.
it's our one weekend. Week of fall.
Yeah, right? I mean, I was up in Mish, and you know, last weekend up in Mish, there was a blizzard. So I will happily take some high 60s, maybe even low 70s in Chicago this weekend. Yeah, man, we're getting closer to the draft, getting closer to maybe Christmas week NBA. I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
I hope it. Crossing my fingers, knocking on wood, and hopefully by at least sometime next week, at least maybe Monday, we can come back, and hopefully it's Friday, but Monday we come back, we've got some good news to share with everybody. But hit us up, 331-979-1369. Next week is going to be insane, especially with NBA draft coverage over the next 10 days or so is going to be insane. If you haven't already been filled with a ton of it yet, we'll continue to cover it too, give you guys our thoughts, and you guys can hit us up again on Twitter or at our text and voicemail line. Let's take a quick voicemail, Matt, before we get into all the trade hypotheticals and what NBA star is crying and wanting out of their city next.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Matt. This is Zach from Pennsylvania again. How you guys doing? Actually, I was going to ask you guys a question about, in terms of a Bulls jersey, I bought a Kobe White jersey, so I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts about, if you had to do like a ranking on which Bulls jersey you guys would be ordering, what would be your biggest suggestion for a Bulls jersey? Like I said, I got a Kobe White jersey coming here this week, so I just thought that was interesting because there's another podcast I listen to, but they do jersey rankings at the start of every season. So just thought I'd ask about that. So you guys take care.
I'll be honest right now, I have the absolute worst luck with this, like, of all time. Doesn't matter what sport, throughout the years of collecting jerseys and having them, I have the absolute worst luck, so don't take my advice at all. But Matt, who would you pick in terms of like longevity and being able to wear one that also carries value and swag, but it's not going to be a guy that gets dealt away in 18 months?
Yeah, that's a tough question, and I haven't had good luck on that recently. Not with the Bulls, but like after the awesome, promising year the Bears had in 2018, I wanted to believe, so I got myself a Trubisky jersey, even knowing that I was on the fence at best about his prospects to become our franchise quarterback, and that turned out to be a gigantic mistake.
What are you doing, bro?
And before that, my previous Bears jersey that I invested in was Alshon Jeffrey, who I fell in love with. It was an amazing Pro Bowl receiver, and then he peaced out and won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. So that jersey is just, you know, super disappointing. And you know, at this point, when it comes to the Bears and the Bulls, like I feel like going retros is the way to go. You know, go with a legend. If you don't have one already, get yourself a Jordan jersey. Get one in a different style. If you don't have a Pip jersey, get one. Get one in a different style. Same thing with, you know, Walter Payton jerseys. As a Bears fan, you can't go wrong. at this point, I've been flirting with the idea of buying a Kobe White jersey just because I'm trying to be excited about his future. But he could be like, who knows? We might see him go on draft night. I don't think it's likely, but it's hard to confidently say we don't have a Luka, like Mavs fans have, where it's like, oh yeah, I could buy all the Luka gear I want because this dude is our next Dirk and we're not letting him escape and he will be a Dallas Maverick for the next 20 years. We don't have anybody like that on the Bulls roster right now.
Listen to us sit here and complain about not having a jersey to wear. We have the most iconic jersey in sports history in terms of one single player, right? Michael Jordan, the red Bulls jersey with Michael Jordan on the back.
True. Like,
I don't think we have any room to complain about that. That's why I think your suggestion of going retro is probably the best move. I've actually done that across not even just NBA, but across the MLB too. Mitchell and Ness, shout out to them. They produce these awesome BP jerseys, throwbacks from back in 80s and 90s. Those are the last three jerseys I've bought. Tony Gwynn, Bo Jackson White Sox, and a Robin Ventura red White Sox one. And those have been the best. And they hold up in quality too. And the best part is they don't have names on the back. So it is just numbers, but they have stitching with the names on the sides. But yeah, like if you're going to invest in a Bulls jersey, I would probably say maybe depending on who they draft here, if you're really excited about that guy will be around a long time. If it ends up being LaMelo Ball or Halliburton or James Wiseman or Anthony Edwards, whoever it may be, maybe that's your guy for the future and you want to stick with that. But like you can't go wrong with the best player on the team too in Zach LaVine. He'll still be here for 2 years. So you can't go wrong with that jersey as well. But I think classic Michael Jordan.
And I'm still holding out hope for my City Edition Lowry jersey on becoming a classic. If Lowry figures his shit out and the Bulls help him figure his shit out and he becomes a perennial all-star for our team. I'm not predicting that's happening. I'm just saying I haven't given up hope that it will or something close to that. Because to me, those are still far and away the best City Edition jerseys that the team has made. The white ones with the throwback to the 80s jerseys with Chicago in cursive, across the chest. And the blue, the Chicago blue and red trim. That is a fresh jersey. So I got a Lowry one of those, and I hope that I can hang on to that and still wear it proudly for years to come.
We got Bulls across our chest.
I had a buddy who had a City Edition, the white with the script like you're talking about, Cameron Payne jersey. Somebody at a bar bought it off of his back for $60. He didn't even pay $60 for it. He paid a third of that. And somebody was drunk enough to buy it off the back of
him. He must have had that custom made. There's no way that they actually made campaign jerseys in that City Edition alternate.
Quite possibly could have come from overseas, but I mean, when I saw it in person, Matt, there's no distinction between the actual real Nike jersey and this jersey. I was like, holy shit, they've gotten so good at making these replicas. It's insane. So maybe it was one of those, but it was to the T, had paint on the back, and he was out at a bar one day and somebody came up to him. He was like, I'll pay $60 for your Cameron Payne jersey, and bought it off of his back. And he was like, okay, take it. Cool. I'm going to go invest in three other jerseys. He's the only person I would ever expect to have a Cameron Payne jersey.
I think, speaking of which, I'm pretty sure that they are actually manufacturing in large quantities Chandler Hutchison jerseys, like on the Bulls, NBA store website. So, you can always go that route.
Young Pip, instead of investing in Scottie Pippen jersey, invest in Young Pip. I don't even know. Yes. So there you go. There's some options for investing in a Bulls jersey. But again, I think spend a little extra money, buy a Mitchell and Ness throwback Bulls jersey, whether it be Rodman, Pippen, Jordan, Kerr, Kukoc, whoever, because those are forever. Those are iconic. I think you got a lot of choices though. So thanks for the call. Okay. This text message is kind of from the 312. It's a deal that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. Would you guys do this trade? Does Orlando say yes or no? Felicio and Arch are included to match salaries. So it's, I didn't even say what the trade was and I just set it up with that. Oh my God. So it's Lauri Markkanen, Cristiano Felicio and Ryan Arcidiacono going to the Orlando Magic for Aaron Gordon. Again, the straight up is no, you can't include Felicio in any deal.
Hey, man, mark that on the Bulls fan trade hypotheticals bingo card for today.
I mean,
let's include Felicio for salary matching.
I mean, unless you're giving Orlando the money to immediately tie immediately cut him and say, all right, we're just going to buy out your contract. You're done. We save the roster spot. You're matching it in terms of actually getting close to the trade. But no, like, I think Aaron Gordon, even though selling Orlando would be selling super low on Aaron Gordon right now, I think it'd be the same thing if the Bulls selling super low on Lauri Markkanen right now. I don't, that doesn't get the deal done. It would be, I think Markkanen and for Gordon is a good starter. That's a good skeleton to this deal. I think that could possibly happen, but this doesn't get, this gets you close, but as soon as you put Felicio in the deal, they're farting in the phone and hanging up on you. So,
yeah, I think this, as much as we talked about, and like you said, not, I think somewhat recently, the prospects for what Orlando wants to do with Aaron Gordon, and the fact that maybe they're willing to sell low on him just to move on and for both parties to have a fresh start. I don't think that filler that's unplayable and a different young player who might need a fresh start in a new location like Lowry is enough for them to say, okay, that's a good enough package for us to move on from the Aaron Gordon phase here in Orlando. I don't love Aaron Gordon enough to have that be the piece that comes back in my giving up on Lowry, because y'all know that I refuse to do that yet. But I think Orlando says no to this well before the Bulls do.
100%, yeah. And like I've talked about, like, if the Bulls are interested in acquiring Aaron Gordon, I think there's definitely a conversation to be had. It's just like, what is the cost for him? Because he lines up perfectly with like Levine's money, his timeline as well. And again, if you can just, maybe it's a matter of needing to get him in a different situation under a new coach and a different philosophy. Still young, still athletic as hell. I don't know. He just didn't perform the way that I think a lot of people thought he was going to last season.
No, he hasn't. And like, it's crazy to realize this, but especially considering Bulls fans right now are still stuck with the sour taste in our mouths from the season that Lowry just had in year three, when we were hoping for another progressive step. But his second season is statistically better than any season Aaron Gordon has had. Aaron Gordon in 17-18, which was his fourth season in the league, averaged 17.6 and 7.9. So, you know, that's pretty decent. You know what Lowry averaged his second season in the NBA? 19-9.
Yes. I guess you're banking on the fact that if it doesn't work out in 2 years, you're off his $20 million, and then you don't have to do the difficult struggle of investing in Markkanen and whether or not you believe he's going to work out and having to pay him what I imagine is going to be a decent chunk of money over the next 3-4 years. Like, that would be the incentive for trading for an Aaron Gordon, is, all right, let's prop up Zach LaVine for another 2 years, see what we actually have in both of these guys, and not have to worry about negotiating for a guy we don't really know about long-term over the next year. That would be the only incentive, for at least in the Bulls terms of, like you were saying, dealing Markkanen straight up for Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, to me, it's not an enticing enough player to give up on Lowry for that. I mean, right now, there, as I just, you know, mentioned, there's proof to suggest that Lowry, who is at this point still a little bit younger than Gordon, has a higher ceiling and a higher upside than Gordon does. Here's an interesting one, Jordan. The 928 asks, is there any package the Bulls could put together that would net Bradley Beal and the ninth for Zach LaVine and the fourth? First off, I'm pretty sure that Washington is not desperate to trade Bradley Beal. And I think that he actually enjoys playing there and just wants more help. That's the sense that I get, you know, for a guy whose usage percentage was damn near, what, like 45 or 50% this past season, as he was averaging, you know, 30 and 6 or 7 assists. I think the gap between Beal and LaVine is too big. That only swapping up, if you're the Wizards, from the ninth pick to the fourth pick is enough for you to feel good about that. I think that that's not enough in this draft class. Maybe in the 2017 or 18 or 19 drafts, moving from 9 to 4 would be enough of an enticing prospect if they thought they were getting a bona fide star to then pair with Zach. But Beal is just Beal's on a different level than Zach LaVine, and I don't think a 9-for-4 swap in this draft is worth it. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's just, I haven't heard any rumors that Beal's going to get moved, and I think he's like committed to that franchise, and I think they're committed to figure out what they can do with those young players and salvage some attention to that team. Because if you trade him and you just keep an aging, beat up John Wall on that team, how much attention is that going to garner? And did they play well enough last year? Did they surprise the front office enough last year to say, hey, you know what? We got a healthy John Wall, maybe not the same John Wall that we had, but healthy John Wall coming back in an all-star level Bradley Beal to pair with him with some young, nice pieces around it. Maybe we can do something here and make this a little bit more exciting than we thought. But yeah, it's a non-starter, I think, for Washington than it is for Chicago. Matt, I've got an interesting deal that I found this deal on Twitter. And speaking of the biggest news, I think, coming out from the NBA as far as the last couple of days is the rumors around Jrue Holiday. And I was like, okay, the Bulls aren't going to trade for Jrue Holiday. It's going to be for a contender. But I wonder if the Bulls can get themselves involved in a deal that includes Jrue Holiday and them dealing their number 4 pick and moving down, but also acquiring an asset. Let me set the trade up for you, and you give me your initial thoughts. It's a 3-way deal between the Pelicans, the Nuggets, and the Bulls. The Pelicans get Lauri Markkanen, Gary Harris, and the Bulls number 4 pick. Denver gets Jrue Holiday. The Bulls get Michael Porter Jr., the number 13 pick from New Orleans, and the number 22 pick from Denver, which is actually coming originally from Houston. Thoughts?
Ooh, there's a lot going on there. Obviously, I mean, the trade value of Jrue Holiday is interesting to me because he's always just kind of been one of those players who, like, some people think is close enough to being a max player caliber guy contract wise, and some people see him more of just like a veteran staple that, yeah, you could have him in your starting five. But he's not like, you know, winning you playoff series. So like building trades around him, especially like, as you mentioned, these rumors recently about, you know, the Pelicans trying to make something happen there or him maybe trying to move on. There's so many unknowns. What I would say is that I think this is one area where maybe we haven't talked as much about these kinds of hypotheticals, because they're a little bit murkier. Like we did that one with Brooklyn a couple weeks back that was centered around Zach and Caris LeVert. But what I'm talking about is, you know, these 3-team trades where maybe the Bulls aren't necessarily like the biggest player or one of the two biggest players in the trade, but they can still do something for themselves by being a facilitator in a 3-team trade. And just so everybody has a little bit of context here, when it comes to Jrue Holiday specifically, he's got $25.4 million on the books for 2021 and $26.3 million in 21-22, and that is a 2021 player option for that $26.3 million.
I didn't send it through the trade machine yet. I'm assuming it works. I haven't looked at... I'm checking Denver's. So Gary Harris, $19 million. Michael Porter Jr., $3 million. That puts you at $21 million that the Pelicans are taking on, plus the number 4 pick, which is probably going to be slotted around, I don't know, I would say, what, $6 or $7 million, maybe a little bit more than that. So that equals Jrue Holiday's contract. So that's good. Porter Jr., the 13 pick and the 22 pick line up with what Markkanen's getting paid, maybe a little, slightly more than what Markkanen's getting paid, so you don't have any issues there. So I think this deal would go through. The matter is, are the Bulls giving up too much? Does AK think enough and highly enough of Michael Porter Jr.? He was the one who drafted him last year. Does he think highly enough of him to move down all the way, gain another asset, another lottery pick at number 13, and also get a mid-first round pick at number 22? You're garnering 3 guys under controllable low salaries with potentially decent high ceilings, one being the highest ceiling, Michael Porter Jr., to add alongside guys like LaVine. You pretty much clear up your issue with Markkanen and Carter. I think this makes a lot of sense for the Bulls, and I know Bulls fans would be fucking thrilled to have Michael Porter Jr., as we knew about all last year, all the phone calls, all the text messages, everything we got leading up to draft night, and the Bulls ended up passing on him. But Do you feel like this is fair for all three teams?
I would love to revisit how unpopular my take was that the Bulls were right to steer clear of Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, let's bring that conversation back.
I wonder what the conversations were like in the Bulls front office.
Off of what? Like a dozen games in the bubble. My God.
I wonder what the Bulls conversations were like, the front office conversations were like, and you know they've had one at some point about, hey, what did you guys see in those medicals that you guys were the only ones that tested Porter before the draft? And I decided to, AK being like, I decided to go with him anyway, and he ended up being all right. We worked, nursed him back to fully healthy, and look at what he did in the bubble, and look at his impact so far. But yes, I think this is the most fair deal if the Bulls are going to move down, and they are also included in the Jrue Holiday deal. Like, this to me, every team wins. Denver's getting the best player back in return. I think they're also, I don't know, it's tough. The Bulls might arguably be giving up the most in the fourth pick and Markkanen, but you're also getting two first-round picks plus Porter, who is a lottery pick and has a higher ceiling. I think at this point right now, between him and Markkanen, probably has the higher ceiling by slightly by an edge. I don't think anybody loses in this deal, though.
I mean,
Markkanen, Gary Harris, and the number four pick to the Pelicans.
Right.
Jrue Holiday to Denver. Porter 13 and 22 to Chicago.
In the which team says no first game, would you agree that the Pelicans say no first? Do you think that that's enough for them as far as a package when you're giving up, as you said, the best player in the trade?
I don't think, like, do you think Jrue Holiday's worth more than that? Worth more than gaining a top five pick, Gary Harris and Lauri Markkanen? Like, I don't know, man. If you're trying to go young, landing a top five pick, whoever you draft alongside Zion and all the other picks that they made over the last 2 years, like, plus Brandon Ingram there, like, I don't know. I don't think you're getting a better deal than what the Pelicans would get out of this. Like, what else are you getting for Jrue Holiday? What are you expecting him to garner in return? Multiple first round draft picks?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. It just comes down to Jrue Holiday being very much a known value, a known commodity, where a number four pick in a pretty weak draft class, and Lowry, who is coming into year four after a disastrous third year, when you really want to see those players make that third year leap, and a fine but not all that exciting role player like Gary Harris. When you break it down, it's not actually that great of a return for a player of Jrue Holiday's caliber, in my opinion.
So, I guess it would just depend on how much they weigh on who they would take at number four, combining with the fact that they do have a hole at the four. Derek Favors isn't going to be back. I don't think they're going to re-sign him. They're going to go young there. They've got Markkanen, and they could plug and play right there next to Jackson Hayes, young center that I wanted the Bulls to take. I don't know, man. I guess maybe I'm undervaluing what Jrue Holiday is, but in terms of what the Bulls think, like, I think this is a great deal for the Bulls.
You might, like, especially considering the context of what New Orleans has and what they're trying to build, which one would assume right now is building around Zion and probably also Brandon Ingram at this point.
That is true.
Jrue Holiday doesn't really fit with that timeline.
I'm just curious what else would be offered for him. Like, if they were going to say, no, maybe we don't want the players, we want picks instead, that's where I think you would get some pushback. Like, Gary Harris not being enough value, being equated to, like, a mid-first-round pick or a late lottery pick. That might have... I think you might have some... You might be valid in that, in saying that. But, like, for Denver, I think it makes 100% sense. And for Chicago, too, like, you're getting your wing player that you've been missing. At number 13... You could take the best player available there, and at 22, you could take a guy that maybe has slid. 13, I'm thinking RJ Hampton. 22, I'm thinking Cole Anthony if he hangs around. There's your guard that you didn't get in the top five that you could bank on that slid. And there's another wing player that can be versatile, is supposed to. He's getting comps to Zach LaVine, but being RJ Hampton, being a guy that the Bulls have been in communication throughout COVID with.
Maybe Devin Vassell is there at 13.
True.
You know, speaking of, you know,
Isaac Okoro wouldn't be there. You don't think he would be there?
No, Okoro would be long gone at that point.
I think it's an interesting deal for the Bulls. But maybe, again, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to trade down, want to keep the number four pick, and don't think that trading away Markkanen at its lowest, at his lowest value is worth it. I guess in that game, you'd be playing who's got the better projected career, who's got the higher career arc. Is it Porter or is it Markkanen going forward? That's the game you got to play. And you got to think it from AK's mindset, not the old regime as well. Maybe they think higher of Porter Jr. than they have seen of the little of Markkanen they've seen so far. So I don't know. Again, yeah, these three-way deals get kind of crazy, but I thought this was the most reasonable for all three teams that I've seen in the last few weeks of all these hypotheticals being thrown out there.
Yeah, I as far as the level of complexity that goes into building those three-team trades, I think that one is certainly feasible because none of the three teams say no immediately when you break it down, like, you know, asset by asset.
Last thing I got for you, Matt, and we can get out of here, is there's rumors that Dallas is still actively shopping number 18 overall. If the Bulls decide to just stand pat at four and don't decide to deal and decide, hey, maybe we can pick off we can get back into this draft at 18 if we really love somebody that slid, what do you think it would cost the Bulls to trade with Dallas to land that 18th pick? Or would you be interested in it?
Meaning, like, the Bulls have already kept and use the number four pick and are just trying to buy back into the mid late stages of the first round?
Correct. So at 18.
What asset do the Bulls have that Dallas would want? Because I think that's where the conversation starts, not is there some player that you're assuming will be there in the mid to late stages of the first round that you want to add? Because, yes, we all know that AK loves to find his gems late in the draft. That's usually where, you know, Denver was, as he pointed out himself after the Bulls, you know, moved up on draft lottery night. He's never drafted this high before in his tenure as an NBA executive. But he certainly has shown prowess and success drafting in mid to late stages. And then certainly second round picks in addition to that. So maybe that is why that's an interesting idea to say, okay, well, let's get AK a pick where he has shown to be that's his sweet spot in previous year's drafts. You know, it's kind of like a so-so level of excitement to me when it comes to that idea being something we should and must execute on draft night. But again, it goes back to, what are you giving Dallas? What do they want that we have? And what are you willing to give up to get a pick in the late teens?
I think the most sensible thing would be Otto Porter or Thaddeus Young. I think those are the two most obvious choices. I think Thaddeus Young is more realistic. Is Thaddeus Young worth a teens pick? And where he's controllable, it's not some ridiculous salary that they would be taking on. And the Bulls could even take a guy back in return too, in order to kind of match those salaries. But Thaddeus Young seems like a viable option. If you want to go one step further with it, Otto Porter Jr. makes a lot of sense too. But I don't know if I want to take a bunch of, like, you're going to have to find a way to match salaries with that too, so Dallas isn't taking a bunch of extra money on. I don't want to take a guy that's controlled for a couple of years too. I think keeping the cap flexibility open and reliable instead of banking on a mid first round pick here, that's not sensible to me. So if you can find a way to deal maybe Thaddeus Young or Thomas Satoransky to Dallas for that 18th pick, or find a deal surrounding that, I would be more intrigued. Because there's a lot of guys, like I was saying, Cole Anthony, he's hanging around the late teens, early 20s. Terrell Terry, who the Bulls have had communication with and Zooms with, he's around the late teens, early 20s. RJ Hampton, Jalen Smith, all four of those guys have been in communication with the Bulls throughout COVID. So that's what's keeping my eye on picks that might be looking to be sold off. Nets at 19, Dallas at 18, Minnesota at 17. I think there's all viable options for those teams to deal out and add production right away. And maybe the Bulls can take advantage of that.
It's an interesting idea. Dallas could probably use that depth as a team that is, you know, expected to be playoff bound again, have a top five MVP candidate in Luka and hopefully a healthy KP. You know, the back end of that Dallas rotation just proves to be a little too shallow in their early playoff exit, and maybe they're trying to bolster that, and maybe they see acquiring a veteran like that as a quality shortcut as opposed to trying to find the right draft pick and hope that they are as good out of the gate, or, you know, obviously not as good as Luke out of the gate. That's like, you know, unheard of, but capable of contributing out of the gate in a way that maybe is not as likely as, well, we need some front court depth. We need some wing depth. Let's target a player like that or like Otto. Maybe they would see that as something worthy of sacrificing a pick. Maybe, especially if they don't particularly love anybody on the board at that spot. In this draft, if I'm the Bulls, even again, as I mentioned, the AK is good at finding, you know, value in the late picks thing. It doesn't excite me all that much. Unless, of course, if you got who you wanted at four, or maybe you traded down from four and got who you wanted at seven or eight or nine, I would be okay with that being what happens on draft night without trying to overcomplicate things.
I'm still convinced that they're going to trade in. They're going to have a pick in the late teens or the early 20s, Matt. I'm fully convinced. And maybe you're hearing otherwise, but I like to connect dots.
We have heard that Boston is like talking to everybody, wondering if people are interested in any of the three picks that they have in the late first round.
Yeah, they have 26 and 30. So they have 26 and 30. I think Denver's another option too at 22. Like 22, I don't think they're going to be able to re-sign Grant. So they've got a massive hole to fill there. Maybe Thaddeus Young's that guy there. Like, I'm trying to find spots where he still has value and you could plug and play on a competitive team right away. And maybe a Denver is willing to overpay slightly just because they're in win now mode. They're that close. Maybe it's that team, or like you said, maybe it's Boston who needs a player like that. Could be. I'm convinced that if they don't make a trade for it, we're going to hear plenty of conversation and rumors swirling that the deals are being talked about with the Bulls in the late teens, early 20s. That's what I'm fully convinced. That's my opinion on it. But it's going to be interesting, man. It really is. Leading up to draft night and into free agency. You guys can hit us up with your text and voicemails, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com